weird. So this has three car diode capsules. So more spatial orientation. It's a stereo microphone. The old one, the old Snowball, was two, which was still really good, but that allowed for the omnidirectional thing. But then apparently there was a demand for the quality of the podcasting mic, but no need for the second car diode capsule. So Blue released a cheaper version called the ICE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that is. So I just cheaped out because you really don't need 360 sound when I already have the Yeti.
Okay.
And that's the story of why there's three microphones in the room now.
That was very geeky.
Very, yeah. Yes, it was. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Karasi Curious. Do I shake this?
No. Whoa,
okay, that's
no.
What I thought.
It's carbonated. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I don't know what got on there. Is that from you?
I don't think so.
Is that from me?
Yeah. Smells like Smike.
Could be a little bit of paper towel. I actually just poured these. So these are very, they're fresh. Fresh from the tap. So.
Wait. You have a kombucha tap in your house?
No. So what we're drinking right now, this is the most hipster drink you can drink, I think. It is locally brewed organic kombucha.
From Fairport Brewing Company.
Yes. So the way that they're doing this now is if you bring back an empty bottle and fill it yourself from a tap that they have.
A kombucha tap.
They give you a discount. There is a kombucha tap. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, there are three flavors. They've got the peach that I'm drinking. They've got the cranberry pear, which is actually my favorite.
This is delicious.
Yeah.
this is really legitimately fucking amazing.
And they also have a citrus one, which I guess is like the original flavor. I'm not too crazy about that, but I really like the cranberry pear.
Huh.
And as far as I can tell, it's a very healthy drink.
Extremely. I was looking this up. I have a lot of facts about kombucha.
Well, I guess we're having a kombucha night then.
I think we're going to have a little kombucha session.
So
I'll get back to you on that.
So I think there are some misconceptions about it. One is it doesn't have hardly any caffeine in it. There's very, very little caffeine.
It traditionally is fermented black tea. So there is caffeine in it initially.
But the caffeine gets eaten up by the bacteria and the yeast that grows in it.
The SCOBY.
The SCOBY, yes.
Yes.
Or blob, as some people would call it.
Is that a different acronym?
No. Just a blob. I mean, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. It's...
Oh, it's like the weird... Yeah, I have seen it. Yes.
Okay.
But the SCOBY is a disc you can buy. And then it'll burr the second disc.
Yes.
Which is kind of creepy, but cool, because I didn't get much out of it. I was looking into making kombucha, because my fermentation experiments so far have failed pretty badly.
Yeah, apparently it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, you don't even need a fermentation kit. You just like put some cloth over the top.
Yeah, you get the SCOBY, and you put it in. You put tea in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically just tea, and then you put this what is a colony of yeast and bacteria.
Yes.
You just put it in there and leave it. For like a week or
a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast, SCOBY.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And you just leave it, and it feeds on the sugar in the tea. So you're basically making a sweet tea.
You're basically making the shit that the simple syrup tea.
Yeah, kind of.
Which is you take water, boil it, put sugar in it, and then put tea bags in it, and then it's done.
Yeah. But the colony eats all the sugar, so along with not having very much caffeine, there's hardly any carb or sugar in this.
Correct, and there's a minuscule amount of alcohol.
Yeah, but it's not significant.
Well, I mean, if you're like, you know, I had a Muslim friend who.
Okay, yeah, if it's a religious thing, I guess that could be a problem.
Yeah,
but there's you would have to drink like an absurd amount of this to get even a buzz.
Dude, this is so good, I'd be willing to do it. Wow, that's cool. They have a tap thing. Yeah, so kombucha is very hipster-esque, but I really, really want to try to make it. I think it'd be fun. So fermentation is hot right now. It's so hot right now, the fermentation. But the concept of like putting good probiotic, you know, stuff in your body. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, just eating probiotic yogurt is not going to fix your gut bacteria. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's not the same stuff.
Right.
But fermentation traditionally is very healthy for a great number of reasons. From it's naturally, it fights cancer. It lowers your risk of cancer. It helps with joint pain because it's very high. This process of making kombucha produces a lot of glucosamines,
mm-hmm.
and that's really good for joint health.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. It's great for gut health, just in general. It is a probiotic source, so that does help to sort of, you know, neutralize and subvert like things like leaky gut that mm-hmm. are becoming more legitimate. It used to be sort of a bullshit thing, and now they're like, oh no, that's a real thing.
Leaky gut?
You never heard of leaky gut?
I have not, and I feel like it's good that I haven't.
It's like the, if you're into the holistic health thing, like I get a newsletter, and I swear to God, they talk about fucking leaky gut every time. I don't know what it is. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
It's something about...
It sounds terrible.
It sounds horrible. If there's one thing your gut should not leak. Be doing, yeah. It shouldn't be fucking leaking.
Yeah. No.
It's like that... You ever watch Married with Children?
Oh, God. Long time ago.
One of my favorite episodes. I'll never forget it because it left such an impression on me. I was pretty young when that was on. But they were in one of those, you remember the supermarket sweepstakes yes. things mm-hmm. where you shop against someone else to try to get the most stuff?
Right.
So they were up against, of course, the neighbors.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's no other people on that show. And Al has the bright idea to put a bunch of Ginsu knives on the front of the cart, like Mad Max style. Because, of course, Ginsu was really popular back then, too, which really dates the show. So at the very end, they have more stuff in their cart. They know because they just got like some expensive piece of meat. But they can't get to the finish line in time. So Al's at the line and Peggy's across the lane. And he goes, just push it as hard as you can. So she shoves this knife-like clad cart towards him. And this is all going to tie together in a second.
Okay. It better. It really better.
And then it cuts to him sitting in a children's pool in the backyard. And Peggy comes and gives him a beer. And she's like, we did great. I'm so happy we won. And he said, me too. And then he takes a drink. And the drink comes out with all the different holes in it. So to me, like, that's automatically what I think of when I hear leaky gut is Al Bundy in a children's swimming pool leaking.
It is probably not that.
Mm-mm. I hope not. That's really scary.
So in addition to that, I think it tastes pretty good.
It really does. This is mild kombucha. I've had stronger kombucha.
Do you mean the carbonation of it?
Well, the taste. It's just... Okay. Like, I don't think it's fermented. It's fermented usually from like 8 to 15 days. I'm guessing this is closer to 8.
Don't know. It's a very, it's a highly carbonated. Reasonably highly carbonated. I think it's pretty, there's carbonation in it. Mm-hmm. It's like a soda.
Yeah.
It's like a carbonated Snapple.
Yeah.
And it tastes like it's sweet. I mean, when I taste it, I think this has more sugar in it than it does.
But it really doesn't.
But it doesn't. But it's a very strong flavor nonetheless.
That's what I'm saying is there the more you ferment it, the more flavor it has. And you can, of course, add stuff. But yeah, it also it's a source of like kind of healthy acid. So it does help with digestion and upset stomachs. So there's a lot of cool stuff about it.
All right. So yay us.
Yeah.
And yay Fairport Brewing.
I really like Fairport Brewing Company. I like their little hip spot out
and I did
corner.
I did pay for these. We're not this isn't like some free promotion. This is all genuine opinion.
When I'm out on the town in downtown Fairport, I always like to stop in at Fairport Brewing Company. No, but I like that place, and they have pretty interesting beer too.
So they don't cook their own food, but they always have like a food truck that comes there.
Yes.
And I guess they have different food trucks that come, so they always have something different there for people to eat.
That's really caught on in Rochester, too, of late, like the food truck rodeo concept, because restaurant owners were fighting that for a really long time.
But I've never seen a place like this that's like, here's our place, we sell drinks, and we're just going to bring in a truck of the day.
No, I usually see them outside of workplaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they do the food truck rodeo at the public market, but still not quite the same. But yeah, this is great. It's like a symbiotic relationship,
yeah,
between a purveyor of booze and a purveyor of fine truck-based food. It's like a disc of anyway.
Yeah, I see where you're trying to go.
Shouldn't
not
just
getting to it. But
keep hammering the closer. No,
no, no.
Not just outright say it.
Yeah, just stop.
Dance stop. Away.
Dance away.
Dance away, Meryl. Dance away. Somehow. You know how relationships become like their own thing, and then like you develop weird in jokes with your partner. that like no one else is going to get. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And you probably know most of ours, and we know quite a few of ours. Several of yours.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point. Well, but that's the thing is like when two couples hang out, it's like their relationships are hanging out.
Yes.
So you kind of learned about that.
But we're definitely, my wife and I are for a long time. We've been where, oh, it's something happens and somebody says something and you're like, yeah, I knew you're going to say that. Like one of us had to, of us had to make that joke. Because we both think it when that thing happens.
It turns to cancer.
One of us has to say it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gotta let the air out.
So that's kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, and this is just really specific, but so there's we both thought that Signs was a really dumb movie. I'm very non-sequitur tonight, but it's always going to tie back to what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So Signs was a pretty... did you see Signs?
Yes.
Did you see the Signs? It was not a great the movie. And
signs everywhere. The signs
are everywhere. Crosses and everything. There was that big kind of scene at the end where the water glasses are everywhere, and then you had the big twist, which was the dumbest twist in the world.
It wasn't even a twist. It was
it was just like it's basically Shyamalan being like, I have to do something that was quasi right turn, so here's the thing. Is it dumb? But Mel Gibson looks at Joaquin Phoenix and he goes, swing away, Meryl.
Yes. And I got that reference when you said it the first time.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know. I assume most people don't. But yeah, so for years now, Erica and I, whenever we... It's a very specific, like, that weird relationship dynamic where we know when it's right to say it. And we will say it. And no matter how stupid it is, the other one will still kind of laugh. Be like, huh. Because it's like, yeah, all right, that's the thing we've developed. It's the weird game. It's all
games. I apologize
games.
For not giving you a little laugh when you said it. I probably should have.
It's okay.
But no, it was not a good movie.
No.
It had a couple of good scenes, but it was just dumb. Like, there was the excellent, the really, really good scene was the thing with the alien that was trapped in behind the door.
Yeah, the door was the scariest part.
Yeah.
That was good old-fashioned, like, horror movie scene.
Yes. But then once you actually, you know, saw the aliens walking around, like, really? It's just some fuzzy, it's like a guy in a green fursuit or something.
Yeah, it was not, with a penis coming out of his wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. It that was the problem is that at that point, his formula
gets burned by water.
Yeah,
caustic. And decided to land on the planet that's mostly water.
70-something percent water. The people are like 80% water. What are you guys fucking thinking? Someone didn't do their... They trumped it.
No.
They didn't prepare, and they just picked the planet and fucking went for
it. Oh, okay. You went there.
No, I need to finish this. Door. The problem with Signs, I think, was that was the point when everyone figured out what Shyamalan's formula was, which was take a thing and then make it adult. So take a ghost story and write it for adults. Take a monster story and write it for adults. Take an alien story, write it for adults. Take a mermaid story, write it for adults. That's all he ever fucking did, is he always just took a thing that was really basic and then made it scary for adults. And it was so formulaic at that point. The Village. Take a monster story and make it for adults.
What does for adults even mean?
It's not... Take Little Red Riding Hood.
Try to make it more realistic?
Darker. Yeah. Remember when everything was darker in the aughts? Everything had to be just, it's like, you're familiar with this, but it's darker. It was a thing, I feel like. The 90s was kind of emo and grunge, and then it got into, we need to be a little darker.
So what do you think was what started that? What was the first, what were the early darks?
Well, the postmodern superhero movement was a part of that, I think.
All right.
So Frank Miller, Alan Moore, Watchmen, and... Batman. Right.
Well, I remember when the first Batman came out, and was that...
Wait, in the 20s?
No. The first modern, and boy, this is a real... That means different things to different people.
Yeah, that's
I'm talking about the Michael Keaton Batman.
You're talking about movies, okay.
So that would be... Was that late 80s?
I was talking
90s?
About comic books, not the movie version.
Okay, I know, but it's happened at the same time.
So the second Batman...
The second Batman.
Yeah, there was a notable... I remember this. I read about it at the time.
Not Adam West Batman?
The second Michael Keaton Batman was notably darker and more violent than the first one. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was just kind of gross, though.
It was unnecessary, looking back. Yeah. But there was a shift. There was a notable shift. So what years
were
those?
That was Danny DeVito's character, the Penguin. And
Batman, too. Batman was way more violent. Like, he just dispatches people Like, in like the normal goons, like, have a much, he treats them much. I remember seeing,
I believe it. I
mean, like, wow, this is, I'm a kid and I recognize this is more violent.
I thought the first Michael Keaton Batman movie was pretty good.
Hmm. But that had Jack Nicholson.
But yeah. But when it came out, it was after those comics from the 80s. The darkening of Batman in the 80s.
Well, a lot of things got darkened in the 80s. That was the postmodern superhero thing.
That was Watchmen. Mm-hmm. That was
Batman.
Dark Knight Returns. Killing Joke. Batman Year One.
V for Vendetta. It was Miller and Alan Moore. They were really leading that charge.
So when that first Michael Keaton Batman movie came out, it was really kind of set up as a darker superhero movie.
Compared to
everything that had come up before that. Right,
exactly.
And we're talking about the earlier Superman movies, which were
campy.
They were kind of campy.
They weren't as campy as Adam West Batman, but they still had schlock. Like they were not serious. They didn't have gravitas.
Yeah.
Now I would argue the Zack Snyderism of this the Zack Snyderization of superhero movies, there's two. It's like all gravitas and fight scenes and nothing else. But
yes, so that first Batman movie kind of walked the line, and it was certainly darker than any of the other superhero movies before it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything that would have been like on that level. And we, but before we saw it, it was kind of hyped up as that.
Okay.
Did it let
people down?
A little bit. Like the more the geeky people like me. Who'd be like, yeah, I want to see freaking Dark Knight Returns on screen. And it wasn't that at all.
You just had to wait 20 years.
Now I'm too old. I'm too old for it.
This is too violent and dark.
Oh, it's just dumb now.
Oh, the first and second Christian Bale movies, I enjoyed those.
Well, okay, I was thinking more of the very recent.
Oh.
Those
that shall not be named.
The B versus S.
Do you want to watch that? I have it in my queue at some point. It's coming
next couple months. I guess. I don't know.
Even Erica wants to sit through it. I'm just going to sit there and just mock
did you
it.
Did you end up going to see Suicide Squad?
No, I was going to wait for it to come out.
Okay.
Meh. We really wanted to like it. It's hard to justify the theater when every reviewer was like, this is a terrible movie.
Yeah. Anyway, the Batman movies, like from then on, I thought the first one was good. I think I thought Michael Keaton did a good job.
Yeah.
The second one, Danny DeVito was just disgusting. I mean, like really disgusting.
I think they're trying to figure out how to make it darker. Yeah. But they just kind of went like over the top, and it like looking back, it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not good.
And then
none of them after that were good.
Yeah, it was just downhill.
I didn't even see like half of the others.
I never saw Batman. I've seen clips of Batman and Robin, and it looks fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when, of course, you've heard about Schumacher's commentary, right?
No.
Which we should listen to sometime.
What?
Apparently, Joel Schumacher, who, you know, early on ruined the Batman series with Batman and Robin, because he's the one who put nipples on the Batsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
The infamous nippled Batsuit.
It was cold all the time. Apparently, in the commentary, in a recent commentary track that he did, like, years later, he, like, I don't know, the drugs wore off or something, and it's just, like, him being forced to realize on an awful movie he made, and he just keeps apologizing in the commentary. I read like pieces of it, of a transcript, and, like, I almost want to listen to this, but at the same time, I don't. It sounds painful.
It might be worth it just to,
right? It might be, yeah. Maybe I'll cut a spot of it in, like, a little bit of it in right here.
If there's anybody watching this that, let's say, loved Batman Forever and went into Batman and Robin with great anticipation, if I disappointed them in any way, then I really want to apologize, because it wasn't my intention. My intention was just to...
Okay, so you want to get to the debate? Should we just get out of the way?
Speaking of Batman versus Superman, that analogy doesn't work on any level, I don't think.
I was going to say...
No. I thought I could make some connection there, but no, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking of a good comparison for them now.
So you watched the debate, I assume?
No.
No, you didn't watch it?
My wife is not political. So she has left for Costa Rica. Monday, the night of the debates, was our last night to spend together because she had to work the next night.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, do you want to watch the debates or do you want to try to clean off some of the DVR? Because she has a thing about lists. And she's like, I just want to clean out the DVR. So the whole night I was like reading every live tweet or not live, like reaction. So I knew basically everything that happened in the debate from like five different websites and barely watched whatever we were watching.
I was actually contributing on one of those. Really? Probably not the one that you were reading. But yeah, I'm talking about the good old Atlantic discussions. Yeah, there was a thread for that.
Mm-hmm.
And people were just kind of live blogging along, making our snide comments and snarkiness.
There was a lot of snark. There was a lot of fact checking. Obviously, Hillary played to that a bit.
Yeah.
Unilaterally, no one seems to disagree that Hillary won.
No, it's not unanimous, but the clear majority of critics and viewers on all sides agreed. Not, you know, not everybody, certainly, but the majority.
The Breitbarts aren't going to, but, you know,
yeah.
the most rational people, no matter what side you're on, and Erica said it best, she's like the next
Russia day. Russia was clear in their belief that Trump won the evening.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not joking
about
that.
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the Russian press
RT.
Yeah, they were very much in favor of Trump's performance.
Of course they were.
Which look, should tell you something.
Look, it wasn't us. Donald Trump said it wasn't us who hacked the DNC, huh? Huh? We sent you vodka. Yeah.
But yeah, he was just being... I don't know why anybody expected anything else.
Well, from what I was reading, getting nervous because the first 20 minutes, it was like he seemed to be holding his own. From everything I was reading, I was like, fuck. Like, did he actually pull his shit together? But no.
No. He really lost... His cool when she attacked his finances.
Yep.
And his business, and you know, he got very very defensive.
Mm-hmm. As he is wont to do.
Yeah, and then
he just started rambling.
Yeah, when he gets defensive, he just has to talk. He has to explain and make you understand why he was right and mm-hmm. why your criticism is wrong.
But he gave so many you good can't sound let bites.
Anything go.
So many good sound bites from doing that.
Yeah.
He just gave them ammo, like, until the next debate.
I know. They couldn't, Hillary's team couldn't literally not have scripted this better. And, excuse me, come burpa. So, the last thing she hit him with at the end of the debate.
Oh, the women thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was like, it was just... It was like the her finishing move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she fucking fatalied him with that.
She really did.
Well, she threw him off balance really... Wait, was that... Was it during that she brought up the Miss America thing?
That was the last thing she hit
and
him
he, with. That utterly, like, flummoxed him. He's like, where'd you find him? Who did you get this from? What?
So, in case anybody hasn't seen this, or even if you have, we'll just relive it here. She... brought up this Miss Universe, I guess? One of his pageants.
Well, he was trying to do the whole she doesn't look presidential, right? He was getting very
shallow. Yeah. She
must have been
countered right away with, like,
right away.
Slammed him on that one.
About all the things he said about women in the past, which, like, just the kit gloves came off.
Yeah. Well, first you see us, he tried to spin it so that he was criticizing her stamina,
mm-hmm.
which is stupid. And then she, you know, said, "What I've traveled to like over 100 countries."
It was basically Yoda being
once
like,
once you've done
900 years, you
half
you,
of the stuff
reach.
That I've done, you can talk to me about stamina.
When 900 years old, you reach look as good.
Yeah,
that's all I could think when I read that.
And then she hit him with this one specific account.
She made a general, reminded generally how everyone how he had talked about women in the
past.
Yeah,
how he talked about women.
Right.
Which is not nice.
Nope.
So he said some nasty things about women. And then she went to this one person
mm-hmm.
who was, I think she was a Miss Universe.
Miss Universe winner.
Okay. She was a Miss Universe winner back in the
90s? 1996. Okay.
And you can look up, I think it's like Machado or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
She's from Venezuela.
Some South American country.
It's Venezuela.
Okay.
I do know that.
And he called her Miss Piggy and Miss
Housekeeping.
Yeah,
she put on some weight mm-hmm. after winning. And then I guess that was some sort of huge problem for Trump.
Trump, yeah.
And he didn't just say... you need to lose some weight. He said it publicly.
And in a denigrating fashion.
He literally brought the press with cameras to watch her work out.
Yeah.
And was like criticizing her while she was doing this. And yeah, like you said, calling her Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping.
So not only was she Latina, he was being racist and sexist.
Yeah.
And just, sizist. It's like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah. And Hillary hit him with this. And to be fair, this wasn't coming out of nowhere. This was brought up way earlier in the year in the the New York Times piece or New Yorker piece? There was some piece, it was like some long article about how Trump has treated women over the years. And this person she was brought up in that article. So this isn't something new, really.
And it was obviously in the press, largely in the 20 years ago.
Yes. And when Hillary hit him with this, his reaction was, I think he said this like three times, who told you this? Yeah. Where did you get this? Yep. Where did you find this? And I read one of the best comments today about Trump's reaction. Somebody had said, you know, I've seen characters in Disney films who reacted that way when presented with evidence of their wrongdoings. But I have never seen an actual person react like that until now.
He's a cartoon character. He's not a human being. He doesn't exist in any, like, you know, three-dimensional reality I know.
And, of course, the day after the debate, he was out there doubling down, not... He cannot admit doing anything wrong.
Nope.
He cannot apologize.
No, it was the microphone's fault. It was...
Well, that was just absurd.
Was that him trying to justify the sniffling? I didn't understand where that came from.
It was him trying to justify everything. He claimed that the microphone wasn't working, and everybody's watching it. We could all hear you.
We could hear your weird sniffles.
And he claimed that he was not sniffling.
Yeah.
He said... It is literally insane.
Mm-hmm.
The things that he's denying now.
He has just disassociated from reality. If it inconveniences him, he just denies it. It's worked in a lot of his life, I think.
And after all that, Hillary is actually up maybe a couple of percentage points.
Yeah, that's to be expected. I mean, debates don't traditionally favor...
All that gets you a couple percentage points. Maybe.
She needs what she can get. There needs to be no contest here. It just needs to be done. I do fear that the next debate is going to come out and be more larger than life Trump, and it's going to work for him.
He's not. I mean, he can be more Trump than he's been. Like you said, he could do more of it. But I guarantee, after seeing the first one, Hillary's going to be completely prepared for it.
That's the one thing is I have to assume that she held herself in check.
She did.
She must have been prepared to eviscerate him multiple times and then didn't, and then saved it to the end, and then just effortlessly countered.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff like that. Going back to our earlier conversation about, you know, his status stuff and you know what Hillary could do to counter that, she was actually doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
When he would interrupt her, she would for the most part ignore him. I mean, that was her strategy for most of the night, was just ignoring things that he did, or being amused by him.
Woo, okay.
Yeah. and that was it. I mean, that's all she needs to do.
Right. What are your opinions on Holt? It seems to me that there is some legitimate, you know, bias to how he moderated. Not that I'm complaining, but it does seem to be a legitimate complaint you could leverage.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, Trump's been the one who's been making all the news and has been out there in the media and has been stirring up shit about himself.
Right.
So on the one hand, I can totally see this as, well, these are the news stories that have been out. These are the things that people have been saying about you, people have been saying as much about Hillary because she just isn't getting as much attention as you are.
But he didn't really bring up Benghazi, for one thing. And didn't he silence someone in the audience or someone? Was like, what about Benghazi? And he was like, quiet. And then the email server thing, which, by the way, bravo to her to finally just be like, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Not the best way of handling it, but I don't know how else she could at this point. Just be like, I fucking did it. And it was a dumb thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
But they, I don't know. It just, again, I'm not complaining, but from what I read, yeah, you have you make a point. I do think that there was some bias.
At the same time, for any normal candidate, these would have been chances to set the record straight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong.
For any normal candidate, you know, having the moderator bring up, well, this looks like something that might be an issue for you. How do you want to address it?
Pontificate and assure us and assuage our fears, and you know, but no.
Yes. He brought up a lot of stuff that was negative against Trump, but he wasn't really
attacking with it.
He didn't really seem to be attacking with it. So it's hard to say.
I'm willing to bet that it's a Fox person next time, right? For the second debate?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little bit more biased in the other direction for that. I can't see that not being so. Which is smart of them to do it that way so that Trump would come back after taking a drubbing. You know, I'd be like, well, you know, Fox will have my back. I have to assume it's deliberate.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm not complaining. It was a nice, I slept pretty well after watching that, honestly.
It was comforting from everything I read to know that order was restored and all was right in the world.
Yeah, there was some of the comments, though. One of the other ones I saw was great was somebody said, well, I guess the Republicans are right. Hillary just murdered a person on stage in front of a live audience, and she's not going to lose any votes for it.
It's funny because it's true. He's dumb. And this is the country we live in.
Hey, got her a couple points this week.
Yeah, but if he had actually reined himself in for an hour and a half.
He can't. He's incapable of it.
I know. But if they had medicated him somehow.
Yeah.
It's just scary to think how he could have gone. Thankfully, you're right. He just is physically incapable of being presidential.
And she was thoroughly prepared. No, there's I don't think there's anything he could have thrown at her that she wasn't prepared and ready to counter.
Yeah. Who ended up playing Trump?
I don't know. I think that's still a secret.
They still haven't
I think that's still like a state secret. Somebody else had suggested Alec Baldwin. That would have been good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Has he ever played Trump in like an SNL sketch?
I don't know.
I could see that. That's funny. He's kind of a Trump-like character in 30 Rock.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Be so funny.
It is going to be interesting to find out who that is.
Yeah, they're going to have to tell
him. I have to believe it's an actor. It's not another politician.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just you can't be that character. It's so unlikely that anyone can ratchet themselves up to that level. Like that is just a character you have to embrace and be entirely separate from yourself. Sorry, I'm just checking my son sleeping here or not.
Is he finally asleep?
No, he's pretty chill though. I let him stay up later than normal just to let him tire himself out.
So has he not really figured it out yet that mom's not here now?
No, we kept telling him.
Okay, but yeah. I mean, has it sunk in yet?
Well, he hasn't seen her all night. He didn't see her, so yeah, I think so.
Oh, when did she actually leave?
4.
Okay.
Yeah, she dropped him off this morning and was crying when she said goodbye to him at daycare, and then that was it. So, yeah, she said, you know, be good for daddy, and in 5 days when I come home, I'll bring you home a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, don't forget, if you're good, you know, and we have fun together and you behave while your mother's gone, then she's going to bring home a surprise from Costa Rica. And he goes, Costa Rica, I want cookies. I'm like, cookies? And he goes, no, candy. And I'm like, you can get cookies and candy here. Don't you want like a toy from another country? He's like, yeah, cookies, candy, and a toy. And then I guess the daycare.
You're terrible at negotiating, Mike, I got to tell you.
Like, he trumped me.
He could have just left it at cookies or candy. And
what? No.
He had to get him a toy.
He's smart enough to be like, he likes cookies and candy too much. It's like his old man. He also, apparently a daycare, his daycare teacher, like, they have a couple of them per room. And so the one that's assigned to him just loves him to death. So she said to him today, she stopped me in the hall as I was picking him up. And she goes, so I told Simon I love him. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, so does my mommy and daddy. And I was like, really? You said that?
I already have people for that.
She goes, he said it exactly like that. With the and everything. It's like, okay. Yeah, I got this covered. Thanks.
It's really nice. You're cute. I think you're a very nice person.
Your love is inconsequential.
I already have parents. And it's a really good relationship. You know, I'm not looking to break that up.
It works out great for me.
I'm flattered.
I put my whole life into it.
But I just don't see us working out at right now.
I mean, my living arrangement's great. I've got my toddler bed paid off. This kid is hilarious.
So tomorrow, you're good. You're young. You're attractive. You can find someone else, really.
If you're just honest and you're just yourself with whoever you meet, you will find the one, I swear. And you can love them the way that my parents love me. And then that child was stolen. We're going to the Museum of Play tomorrow because they have a dinosaur exhibit now.
Okay. So we know he loves Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So are dinosaurs kind of creeping up the scale?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. There is a substantial amount of research and conjecture about children and dinosaurs, like the weird relationship.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I remember.
It seems like all kids or all boys.
No, it's pretty.
All kids? I don't think it's really gender.
Yeah.
They go through a dinosaur phase.
Most kids go through a dinosaur phase if introduced to them. I mean, the first time this ever came up in my awareness was when I read Jurassic Park, the novel. And Crichton, Michael Crichton, like, has this whole little thing in there about why children love dinosaurs. And I never thought about it. I mean, I was like a teenager, so I wasn't that far from a kid myself. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. But lately, as I've been doing more like research into dinosaurs, there's a lot of like scholarly work being put into trying to figure it out. And there's like a lot of different theories. It's the size of the, like, they're so much larger in an alien sense than anything children ever really see.
Right.
That there's a empowering sense to being familiar with them. Also the names. Like, that's a big one. I've seen that a lot of times. Like, children, you know, kids love saying the names of dinosaurs. And that's like, apparent. Some people think that that's like an extremely empowering thing. Gives them power over their fear of the thing itself.
Okay.
So being able to name it. You know, that old concept of, you know, I know your name. You're not as scary. But yeah, being able to say Tyrannosaurus Rex makes this fearsome predator a lot less scary to a 3-year-old.
So has he gone to a museum already and like seen the giant?
No, this is the first time that he's seeing something that I don't think they're life size, but large. You know,
well, some of them probably. Yeah, they probably have one or two that are life size, right?
I'm hoping. I don't know. They don't have a lot of room, so I don't really know like where in the museum it is. The place is huge though, so they could find room, I guess. But yeah, I mean, someday I'm very excited to take him to the Museum of Natural History because every kid loves that place as a kid. Did you ever go as a kid? In New York City?
Oh, no. I never went to New York City when I was a kid.
Oh, man,
I grew up in the Midwest, in the South.
So evolution wasn't even a thing you learned about. So yeah, you probably didn't go to dinosaurs.
It was a theory that some people had.
It was fringe science.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing a T-Rex, because you remember the perspective, right? Like the things you see as a child and you go back as an adult and you're like, these are tiny. Why were they so big to me? Like, imagine how fucking big that T-Rex statue or the T-Rex skeleton is as a kid. It's mammoth, you know? So I want him to have those experiences of seeing these things that are like really, really big because it's fun. And he loves Land Before Time. And he loves eating chicken dinosaurs. And he has this whole like narrative game.
When
now.
You say that, you're referring to the chicken nuggets, processed chicken food shaped as dinosaurs.
Fully cooked, shaped as dinosaurs that he only eats frozen.
Yes.
So we cannot warm them up.
That's odd.
So we managed to find a hormone-free, fully cooked chicken frozen dinosaur product. And we're like, It's the only protein he'll willingly eat that's meat, other than like yogurt and peanut butter. So fuck it. It's fine. just eat it.
It's amazing that that thing exists.
I don't think it's as rare as we think. I suspect, because our neighbor, when I told her that, when she came over to watch him, when we went and saw Kubo, she's like, I was like kind of apologizing. Like, yeah, I know it's weird. She goes, oh, my daughter's only ate frozen French fries for like a year. Ugh. So it's a kid.
Sounds horrible.
When you're a kid, you don't have taste. I used to love flat soda when I was like five.
Yeah.
I don't drink soda at all anymore, except this delicious kombucha from Fairport Brewing Company. But
feel free to give us actual free samples, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, who makes Timbucha at Fairport Brewing Company.
That's the owner's name.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know Tim. Well, excuse me. I didn't know you were,
you know,
you were in with Tim.
We have sex on sometimes.
All right.
Yeah. Just saying, there's a room in the back. Actually, there's not. That like place is tiny.
Yeah. But that's not where they do. You know where the actual brewery is, right?
Do they have an actual brewery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering if they did custom brew crafters like a lot of other places do.
I don't know what that means.
A lot of local little breweries don't actually own their own brewery. They develop their formulas, their recipes, and they give them to custom brew crafters.
No. They have a brewery. It's, oh, okay. This is for local people only. It's in Fairport. If you get on, you know where that bridge is that you go across the railroad tracks on, not Whitney, but you go down Whitney, you turn down Turk Hill, you go over the railroad, overpass there.
That's by, it goes over the canal. The garden store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go over that, and then you get the light at the end of the bridge.
And you can turn left or right.
You can turn left or right.
That's 31F?
Yeah.
31F, okay.
So you turn left.
Okay.
And if you turn left again, you know, there's like those little shops and whatever. That's
where Julie has her pottery.
Yeah.
Ah,
okay. It's down there.
Okay.
There you go. Now the locals know where it is.
The locals probably already knew. Everybody else is
like, why are you telling
us? The locals already knew, and they're like, why are you telling us this? So really, you've told me, and I was probably the only person who didn't know this.
Yes.
I'd like to shake your hand. Thank you for educating me. Go to sleep.
So Star Wars number one on this list still.
Yeah.
Robots?
That kind of ties into Star Wars.
Okay. And then dinosaurs right after that or down farther?
I think they're working their way up. It's like that Seinfeld episode with the speed dial. You know, they're trying to work their way up to the number one slot in the one woman speed dial. I'm just going to throw out old references tonight for some reason. There is definitely a Disney movie pocket there that he is
okay.
a fan of. So we were watching Monsters, Inc. tonight, which he loves. But not the scary parts. Not where there's actually scaring children. Just like, boo.
So you're skipping those?
Yeah. Like, we'll like, kind of, I'll sit there with him and monitor his reaction the first time I watch something with him. And he'll let me know now. He's like, I don't want to watch this. I'm like, okay, fine. But Land Before Time is really high up there. So
there's not much scary in that?
Land Before Time?
Yeah. I've never seen it, honestly.
No, that was when like children's movies were way scarier than they are now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we wrote a bunch of trivia, or Erica wrote a bunch of trivia. So they were going for like post-apocalyptic feel. So, I mean, all the stuff, like Sharptooth is fucking scary. The T-Rex in that, the bad guy in the movie is like scary. He kills the dude, the little brontosaurus's mother, really early on. And then he just fucking hounds him and tries to eat them the rest of the movie. Like, it's fucking scary.
Okay.
Which is, like, maybe a bit much, but when you look at the, like, that's why, and I don't think you appreciate this as much, maybe, but when we watched Kubo, I was like, this is a movie you could show a fairly young kid, not my son's age, but you can show a child, right, a 6 or 7 year old, and they're going to be made to feel emotions that a Disney movie doesn't do, which drives me nuts. You know?
Yeah, they're a little more complicated.
Yeah, complex, delving into darker territory, stretching them a bit in there, and the, you know, what they're gonna feel. It's just when you, like, I've seen so many of these Disney movies now that either I hadn't seen in a while, and it's like, these are whitewashed. Like, what a boring childhood if this is all your. So it actually makes me yearn a bit for the shit I used to watch as a kid, that looking back is like, holy fuck, this was not PC, not super, you know, by today's standards, what you would want a child watching.
Okay, like what? What
well, Land Before Time is a good one. Okay. Look at Monster Squad, Goonies. They're definitely not politically correct. I mean, they throw retard around. I think at least one of them calls people faggots and homos. Like, they throw that language around all over the place.
Yes.
Which is crazy by today's standards. And I'm not really referring to that so much as just placing children in danger in any way, shape, or form. Like, that whole, the way that's done or isn't done at all anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's changed a lot. But Land Before Time is a good example. Another example. And I'm not even really coming out for or against this. I just found this interesting. There's an old Theo Leesig or whatever his name is book. He kind of did Dr. Seuss-like books.
Okay.
And it's called...
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I think it's my wife's book from when she was a kid. And I noticed this. And again, it's just like, as a parent, you notice, like, you can tell when something's old. Not because of the way it looks. It's just what happens in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So this has these three, like a lion, a tiger, and a fox or something, trying to outdo each other by putting more apples on their heads. It's a very innocent story. But they do this up a tree, and then they're walking on power lines. And then from the power lines, they break into someone's apartment and then knock over the people's kid trying to get away. And I'm just like, these guys are assholes, and this is telling children to climb power lines. Like, holy shit, this is kind of crazy by today's standards. So,
well, yeah, you go back to, like, I don't know if this falls on your scale, but like the original Dr. Seuss stuff, like the Cat in the Hat, they're basically trashing the house that these kids...
Every time I read the Cat in the Hat, I'm like, holy fuck. This is a vagrant, a violent, property-destroying vagrant.
Yeah.
How else do you describe the Cat in the Hat? What else? What else from my childhood? Flight of the Navigator. Remember that? Did you ever watch that?
Just bits. A lot of this stuff I didn't see, just because I was older and it just wasn't really in my...
Your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, like, from what I remember, because we did watch, I bought it for Erica recently because she loves that movie. But, like, there's a lot of, like, taking the kid away from the family, parents, and, you know, isolating them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the orphan thing. And you don't see that as much. You kind of do. I mean, Frozen kind of does it, but.
Okay, well, going back to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, there you go.
Or what was the original movie? Was it Willy Wonka, or was it...
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
Factory? I don't know. I forget which...
No, I think it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but then everyone just called it Willy Wonka.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, some terrible things happened to the kids in that.
Yeah, did those kids, like, just die?
Really,
like,
terrible.
Really, yeah.
I don't think they actually died, but it's
allegorical.
Not good.
Yeah.
Like, you're turned into a giant blueberry, or you're miniaturized for the rest of your life or something.
Doesn't one of them get sucked into the tubes and then just... Like, I'm pretty sure they drowned. I don't know how you...
I think they kind of...
No, I'm pretty sure he drowned.
No, I don't think he drowned.
I mean, real world scenario here. I've given him, like, a 20% chance to survive. Tops.
But yeah, some bad stuff happens.
So... there's that I don't miss as much, right? Like, that's okay. That's not maybe what a child really should be soaking up. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, I'm a bit of an asshole, but I don't think that shit made me a horrible person by watching. So
I don't think we talked about this last time. If it made it into the podcast, the original Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Yeah, we did talk about it briefly.
Which,
chopping off the toes and super dark.
Your heart is literally turned to ice or something.
Well, so keep in mind, and I remember when we learned this in sociology in college, this really blew my mind. Adolescence is about 100 years old, that concept. So when they were writing the Grimm's fairy tales, it's like you went from childhood to adulthood. Pretty quick, right? I mean, during the Industrial Revolution, it was you're a child up until like 9, and then you're losing your fingers in machines.
Yeah.
It's you're ennui and angst? Yeah, fuck that. That we don't know what that is. So, like, it seems shocking now, but I think back then it's like, just prepare them for what's probably going to end up happening to them at some point anyway. I had 9 children because half of them aren't going to live past 10.
Yeah.
You know?
And either you're born into wealth or you're out there, you know, picking people's pockets and hoping you don't get... caught or killed.
That's a happy story. But the kids who fucking grew up on farms and then just never made it out. It's a different time. But yeah, adolescence as also something like the Grimm's Fairy, but we have an original printing. My mom got it like at a garage sale or something And it's horrific. Grimm's fairy tales.
So it's interesting because you're kind of you're taking a very hands-on, fine-tuning approach to exposing him to this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
it seems like I'm not going to make any assumptions, but it seems like you're more going by what does he seem comfortable with.
Well, what's interesting to him, right? So first of all, the thing about kids is they can very much not be comfortable with something. It doesn't mean they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they want scary stuff. Like he loves the Rancor scene. Fucking loves it, right? He loves being scared by it.
Okay.
And I watch.
So does it come on? Does he like hide?
Not anymore.
All right.
Like he gets up and he shoots his lightsaber at it now, because he knows Luke's gonna beat it, right? But like, there's a part of me that's like, my son's not quite three. It's very easy to forget that when you look at him because he's so tall and you know really carries himself like an older kid the way he talks. But there's sometimes I'm like, should I really not be letting him watch this stuff? But we've been so careful about like no one living dies. We have thoroughly created this reality where everyone who dies is a robot, and if they're obviously a real person, they're getting knocked out, right? So we're trying to establish this like death. Death is something you don't want to happen, good or bad,
yes,
to a person, right?
So you're keeping him in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle world.
Yes, yes, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon world.
Yes,
unlike the
not the original comic,
not the comic where they just fucking kill people. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird, and yeah, we're doing hands on. One thing that Eric and I did talk about, and we agreed on this, is he's very well behaved at daycare. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal because
it is a big deal.
We let him play blasters. I was chasing around, where he was chasing me around the lightsaber earlier today. Makes him happy, gets him exercise. You know, he's having a good time with dad. But he understands that like there are, and the way we explained it was like you can't do blasters and lightsabers at daycare because it scares the other kids. And he gets that, which is great. It, you know, we have that rapport with him that he can understand it. But what we do, and I do firmly believe this, and Erica was able to come up with some research to kind of back it up, is there is a leaning in education towards what you would consider to be traits more commonly associated with little girls as being correct.
Okay.
So being quiet,
I'm not sure where you're going. Okay.
Being well-behaved, not acting out, which boys and girls play differently, especially when you let them play, and it's maybe it's more if you don't encourage a girl to act or a girl to act like a society expects a girl to act, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's really hard to divorce nature from nurture.
Oh yeah, that it's an argument that's never going to get solved, but there is research, especially recently, saying boys are tactile in a way that girls maybe aren't, and maybe that is nature. And yeah. The problem is that tactile way of interacting with the world is louder and brasher and more energetic, and that isn't conducive to a quiet school environment. And further, by and large, the majority of instructors are female. And so they do, as research has been discovering, do tend to reinforce the, you really should be quiet, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to divorce yourself from that tactile thing. So we are really not cool with that. So we're really, I mean, talk about hands-on. We're really trying to figure out a way to, like, let him experience the world the way he needs to, because he's fucking smart. And his, you know, his vocab's way ahead, and he gets it that not every kid gets. So we're trying to encourage this, but make it so he doesn't have problems in a public setting. You know what I mean? It's really tough and takes a lot of work. It's, so far it's going well. I'm waiting for it to kind of end up on its head, but...
Well, you're in a very fortunate and rare situation where Eric works from home.
Mm-hmm.
You work from home often?
No, all the time.
Well, okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't been in the office in a year. My office is 25-minute drive away, and I haven't been there in a year.
So yeah, this is a very rare situation where you're both able to give him an extraordinary amount of parenting and parental attention,
which is ultimately comes down to fine tuning.
Yeah,
you know, when you can, you're absolutely right. It's a luxury. It's one of the reasons I didn't leave my job as dissatisfied as I was at the time for a significant pay increase because I realized I was going to barely see my family doing that. And it's not what I'm about. But yeah, he's an experiment. We're trying to get him right. And by right, I've always been saying all along, is we're trying to fuck him up as little as possible and make him as capable as we can. And it takes a lot of work. And to Erica's credit, she's so good about it. And I try to be as involved as I can. And I do get to be more involved than a lot of fathers in particular. So, like, I feel blessed. Like, I feel weird saying that, but I'm really happy with where my life is right now because work is, it's stressful, but I'm managing it, you know? I run or lift weights almost every day. That really helps with the stress management, you know? But no, you're right. It's a very unique situation. You know, both of us working from home.
I just shot you a glare for saying very unique. But
oh, sorry, you're right. It's a moderately unique situation.
No, no, it's just unique. It's just unique.
It's just very,
No.
It's a unique situation.
Well, maybe you can try experimenting by giving him some kombucha.
He would totally drink this. Oh my God.
Does he like soda?
He doesn't know what soda is.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. No, they tell you not to give kids juice anymore.
Oh.
Or to heavily dilute it.
Huh.
Yeah, everything you know about raising kids from your childhood, they've upended three times. Everything I knew from when I was a kid that I remember doesn't apply anymore. Seriously.
Knows, man. Simon, when you're an adult listening to this, you'll be like, why aren't they just hitting their kid every morning like I do? Everybody's doing this. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's like my mom always
Good morning, son. Bam. There you go.
I am making you stronger. My mom always brings this up, or used to always bring this up. So it's just one of those things in my head from childhood. But she always talks about the Woody Allen movie Sleeper.
Yeah.
Where he wakes up in the future.
I saw that such a long time ago when I was a kid. I saw that.
Well, the thing she always brought up was she's like, yeah, he wakes up in the future and they're like, well, when you were sick, why didn't they just give you like candy bars? Because we know now that that's what cures illness. And it's like something ridiculous. But I think about that when it's like, well, this is how we treated kids 20 years ago. Not that long ago, but it's very different.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought that a fetus, like when I was a fetus, they still thought that a fetus was kind of just a lump of cells and didn't really do much. I fucking bought specially made headphones to stick to my wife's belly and recorded myself reading The Hobbit because they were saying that they could recognize voices at that point. Big difference. You know what I mean? And we're not helicopter parents.
You're something else, though.
we're something else. Yeah, we are researchers. No, he's not on constant play dates. And he gets time to just play. He's gotten really good at it, thank God. So, like, we can just sort of sit there and just let him play. And he doesn't need 100% constant attention because he's reached that age. That's nice. Yeah, helicopter parenting's on the way out. I don't know what the next thing will be. I don't know if we're doing it or not.
You're hipster parenting?
No. I know at least one hipster parented kid, and man, that kid just seems obnoxious. No, we're scientifically parenting.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Careful, research based.
Taking notes. Publishing papers.
Lots of glasses, pushing up glasses on the nose like this. Lots of sighing and polishing my glasses. I'm talking to them.
White lab coats.
All the time. Oh, actually, you know, they're getting rid of those. Do you hear that? Oh,
what?
People tend to wear them for a while without washing them. So they have been shown to be like just breeding grounds for like disease and bacteria. Like doctors would just carry those into the room with them. So that's why doctors wear scrubs now. Have you noticed that?
I guess I hadn't thought about that. No.
I read an article about it. The white lab coated doctor is sort of going away, and it's now scrubs for everyone.
Come in, they look like a surgeon, and you're...
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of disconcerting, though. I think that's happened to me a couple times. Like, the doctor comes in like, do I need to be rushed to a table? What is going on here? I thought I was fine. I thought I just had a cough.
I came in for a tattoo removal. Yeah, my dentist still does that. But I feel like it's, you know, there's a chance you could die on every dental visit. Like a legitimate chance. That's what happened to Clive Barker.
What?
He went in for a normal, like
a cleaning?
He went in for a cleaning and ended up in a coma.
How?
It's like there's when you're messing with the teeth, there's like blood vessel issues that can happen that apparently is way more common than anyone realizes, but it's such a, like, you're expected to go and get your teeth cleaned so no one talks about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, yeah, I found out that apparently there's like a better than, you know, better than non, it's a better than non-existent chance.
So you could just start bleeding and then not stop from your...
No, it's more of like a stroke kind of thing.
Oh.
Or something.
So yeah. Like some weird acupuncture sort of thing?
Like an octopus?
Acupuncture? Acupuncture.
You know, an octopus would be really good at it. And I would pay for acupuncture if that's what it was. 8 loving hands.
All right. So go out there and... have some kombucha and then get your teeth clean, kids.
Buy an octopus.
Words to live by. Words to live by.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for our 50th episode.
Oh my gosh.
It's 2 episodes away.
I'm getting really nervous about that.
Because you're the focus of the part of it?
Yeah, I do some disturbing things. I'm not really in the film that much.
Yeah, but... I mean, just the name of your character leads me to believe that you're going to have some ridiculous stuff on screen.
All right. Maybe we just, like, skip through parts of this. No. It's a weird movie.
No, we need to watch the whole thing. I mean, it's not...
That's going to be... That might be boring. I don't know.
How long is it?
It's like an hour and a half. I don't know. Like, yeah, 80 fine. Or 90 minutes.
I can edit out the boring parts, Mike. I'm going to watch the whole fucking thing. And we can just make fun of it. Abstract art movie?
No. There's plenty to make fun of. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It is a weird fucking film. Truly, truly bizarre.
I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but glad that I've yet to see it, even though I have it on my hard drive. I'm a shitty friend. Do you have anything to add?
No. I was gonna go right into that.
Oh,
shitty friend.
Shitty friend. Shitty bang bang.
Well, you. My shitty friend and I are buddies in space.
Buddies in space!
And we're a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. But videos.
Clint Westfall drank his own urine. I just posted it this morning.
I have to go watch these now. I at least have to watch that one.
I told Erica, like...
I feel like you spoiled it, though.
No, it's in the title. It's like, Broda Episode 7, The Urine Edition. I found... So what Jason's done is he actually has...
You said before that you want this to be as authentic as possible. You're on record here.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah... I'm going to actually drink what my character says he's drinking.
Mike, every time I have recorded an episode of Broda, I have drunk exactly what I said I'm drinking. Every time. And I challenge any liberal hippie Democrat to prove that wrong.
Sorry I interrupted you there.
And please. I did not support the war in Iraq, and you can't prove it. No, it's building to a head. I'm going to post this, actually. I finally found, and I should have looked at this earlier. So it only makes sense if you watch, like, the meta-narrative by seeing all the different videos each month. It's an entire film's worth of material.
It's like one of those special runs of a comic book.
Yes, where they do crossover. It's like the old X-Men crossover.
Like, yeah, you're reading X-Men, you're like... What, I have to go read Spider-Man now to figure out what's going on? Oh, now I have to read Fantastic Four?
Okay, so then you're talking Infinity Wars. All right.
Jeez. I don't want to read all these. I don't want to have to pick up a Namor just so I can figure out what this one panel is referring to.
Wow. Namor. There's a website that... So there's a stalker. There's some, I think, as of yet unnamed character who's like sort of the meta narrator of it all. Mm-hmm. And Jason has a site where they're stalking from, and you can follow the meta narrative in order.
Okay.
Which it's interesting. It's cool. I don't know if it's ever been done. It's 14 separate vlogs telling a story for 11 months or 10 months or whatever. Like it's ambitious.
Are they going to make a book out of it?
I mean, he's published a couple books. I mean, he could probably make it. I'd assume he'd make a Blu-ray or a DVD out of it.
Maybe a feature film. I don't know.
Well, he made a mockumentary.
An actual series, web series.
it is a web series already.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I feel like he's going to put it together. But he, I mean, Jason's pretty, like, driven. He's print, I think he's published two separate books as a character. And he financed and did a feature-length documentary for the character previously. He's so invested, just, like, most of his life.
So he just keeps expanding this story.
Yep.
Of so Jason I think, Clown. Is it safe to say, and I think it is, that eventually everyone,
everywhere, all the people
listening, everybody that is a person, is eventually going to be incorporated into this storyline.
I think they already are.
Okay.
And don't realize it at this point. What people don't realize is there's cameras everywhere, and Jason has them all, or something. Did that sound menacing? I really didn't mean to sound menacing, but I'm thinking it sounds menacing.
Make it even more menacing.
Jason's the ghost in the machines, Mike. He's always watching. Drinking kombucha.
And urine.
No, that's just me. Buddies in space, you are...
That's Michael Smith, you are...
And Michael Carazzi, you are stalking us. Go away, listener. But come back, especially in two episodes. Eat my brain.